I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller, Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
And Luke Moore's here.
All right.
Let us get underway. Hello, everybody. It's football time. It is indeed football time, gentlemen.
Is it football time, Marcus?
My goodness, isn't it just? Ticky-tock, Jim.
It's always football time when we're in the room together.
Ticky-tocker.
Before we talk about the Premier League, it's safe to say that I got the Championship playoff semi-finals wrong.
Yes, you did.
It's not easy being hashtag Mostradamus, is it? Marcus Dramus.
Yeah, I mean, that's even hard to say.
I can't even say it.
Nostramarcus.
Yeah, there you go, Nostramarcus. Mm. What actually happened was the total opposite of what you predicted.
Yeah. Yeah. It couldn't have been more wrong.
It's all right, Jim. Deary me.
St. Paul the Octopus would have had as good a chance.
The late great Paul the Octopus, rest in peace.
I thought it was a shame. But there we are. Well done to Reading and Huddersfield.
Yeah. Dramatic scenes.
They're through into the most important game in the history of mankind.
I've got that's what it'll be billed as, no doubt. I've got no beef at all with Reading, other than the occasional dig for comedy purposes. But I would bloody love to see Huddersfield in the Premier League. I think it'd be great.
Absolutely. The story's a bit nicer, isn't it? I was really gutted for Wednesday as well, because to lose on penalties like that, you have this whole season of positivity, and then it comes down to a single moment where suddenly the whole thing's been a failure. Must be tough to take psychologically.
That's football, isn't it? It can be pretty dramatic. I mean, Huddersfield are a proper sleeping giant as well. I mean, they won the old First Division in the 20s. Mm. It's fantastic to see. So hopefully they'll get back up there. I'd like to see them do it.
Jim, get a load of this. I used to support Sheffield Wednesday. That's the truth.
Is that true?
Did you? I did. It's the final day of the Premier League season on Sunday.
You can't brush over that. What's the story there?
This is some sort of 90s nostalgia vibe.
I've got the kits to prove it.
Yeah,
as well.
There we go. That's a revelation.
There's a chance that I've supported one of your clubs.
There is a chance.
Are you talking to us or the listeners?
Everybody.
Everyone.
No, absolutely everybody.
Wow.
Lover of football, me. Mm. It's the final day of the Premier League season this weekend. A little reminder, ladies and gentlemen, for something that we will do on the podcast at the start of next week, that we did our predictions at the start of the season. We put them in an envelope. They are going to be de-enveloped at the start of next week. We'll be reading them out.
Or opened, if you like.
Yeah, I've wanted to be a bit more dramatic.
Tudor.
Do you want a little rundown, a reminder for the listeners of what we actually predicted upon?
Fire away.
We did Premier League top four in order. Where will Leicester finish? Top goal scorer. Most red cards. First manager sacked. PFA player of the year. Which Prem club will go furthest in the Champions League? And I'll tell you now, a little pre-promotion exclusive.
Don't give it away.
I've got one of them right, at least.
Have you?
Because I can remember.
Well done. So that's red cards for an individual player.
But the problem is, Marcus and Jim, I fear quite badly that I've got a lot of them terribly, terribly
as
wrong.
We all do.
Yeah.
Yeah, naturally.
So there we go.
But sometimes, though, if you get close, you've had a punt and you're nearly right, that's good enough.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Considering.
It depends on the others do, I suppose.
That's very true. Chelsea are playing Sunderland on the weekend. Now,
this almost doesn't seem fair, does it? I mean, it's like the people that made the fixture list, that they've waited, like they've done a real long game gag here. Yeah. They're like, this is going to pay off. Let's have Sunderland away to Chelsea right at the end of the season. Mm. That'll be funny. They'll get battered.
Okay. This is hardly even a game. It's more of a lovely day out for everyone associated with Chelsea.
It's like a testimonial for themselves.
Would you be surprised?
For their season.
Would you be surprised if David Moyes didn't even show up?
Not really.
If he thought he would irritate the fans more, then he would stay at home.
He does seem intent on that, doesn't he? He reiterated again that that he said in August they weren't good enough.
Yeah, so right after the Arsenal defeat, he said that.
I have no association with Sunderland at all, but I feel for the fans. I can understand why they're sick of that. He's not exactly stood up and led, is he?
I mean, you're right. He did reiterate after the Arsenal game that he's thought all along from August, reminded us that from August he's thought that they were going to fall short. Yeah. What I love about that is he's basically said, well, I've told you so, and I'll explain why. I didn't think, you know, in the last final few weeks when we were going to go down, I thought, you know, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
I've always thought this.
Yeah.
From the start, I thought we were doomed.
It's like when managers are asked, oh, what went wrong and all this other stuff. You half expect David Moyes to go, a fate.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was all wrong.
It was written in the stars. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. it was the will of the gods.
What could I have done with this whole season in front of me? I don't know.
Well, do you think? They're gonna have a dreadful time at Stamford Bridge, aren't they? The only sort of slither of a chance they've got is if Chelsea, and you can't imagine a Conte side doing this, but anyway, just indulge me for a moment, of Chelsea just treating this as, like I say, a massive day out, a walk in the park, a lovely old time for everyone to parade the trophy around or whatever, and Sunderland somehow do what Crystal Palace did and beat them because they've taken their afterball a little bit. I mean, I don't even believe that myself. I'm just putting it out there to tick the box for the record.
I think, though, you've got players in there like Batchray and Nathan Ake, who want to, you know, they've still got quite a bit to prove. If John Terry plays as well, he's, you know, it might be his last, well, it will almost certainly be his last game at Stamford Bridge, so he's going to want to, you know, go out with a bang. I think they'll probably be quite fired up.
Do you reckon they'll dish out a few? I don't know, I haven't checked the stats, but there might be a couple of players who need a game to get a medal or whatever.
Yeah, maybe.
So maybe he'll roll a few of those. I don't even know how they still do that, because in Europe now, don't they just give you an amount of medals and you get to choose who you give them to?
Right.
I believe that's the case anyway. Okay. So I'm not sure if that is even the case, but I suppose Conte might want to play some sort of fringe players for this game.
How many do you think Ronaldo demands for Madrid?
Oh, yeah,
I'll have 10, please.
Yeah. I want one for every goal I score. Yeah.
Or
when the box comes in the medals, he just grabs it, I'll decide.
Yeah. Well, because I've won all these for you lot.
Yeah.
I've heard that Chelsea, though, because you're right, I think we could see like an odd, decent performance from Sunderland, make it difficult to score against, like they did against Arsenal. But I've heard if they do get a penalty, they're going to bring on Claude Makélélé.
Yeah, there we go. You'll miss it. Yeah.
But he got the rebound.
You know, obviously, if Chelsea win, they'll notch up. How many? 93 points.
93
it's not
points.
A record, though, is it?
95 is the record held by Mourinho's Chelsea in his first season. 93 points. Is a fantastic tally.
But can you imagine Mourinho giving him a bell? Just wanted to hi Antonio.
is it 5 points for a win?
I just wanted to ring you up and congratulate you on your title win. Oh, thanks for Chose, I really appreciate that. Mm. Oh, just quick before you go. how many points do you get?
93.
Yeah. Fantastic. This is Sunderland. If you do think Sunderland are going to upset the odds, and you know, I mean, it would be the most futile result in history. But they're 18-1 with Bet365 to finish their season with a bang and beat the champions at Stamford Bridge. £10 returns, £190 including the stake. A lot of money on return there, and for good reason.
For very good reason. Arsenal face Everton.
Yep.
In possibly the most intriguing game of the weekend for some. Now, this is great, and I think we all want this to happen. I think Arsenal fans would as well. If Arsenal were to draw 1-1 with Everton and Middlesbrough won 2-0 at Anfield, that's the tricky bit. We'd see Arsenal and Liverpool play each other in a playoff for the last Champions League spot at a neutral venue. This is because they have exactly the same, or would have exactly the same stats, same points, same goal difference, goals scored, obviously goals conceded. That is incredible that just that they're so similar with the stats. You know, I understand that we needed an enormous result in Middlesbrough winning at Anfield. But, Jim, come on.
Is there a way we could get buy-in in this?
But, Jim, as an Arsenal fan, you'd take that scenario now, wouldn't you?
You'd take it over not qualifying. Yeah, it'd be very nervy.
Well,
but
if I said to you now, you can... Now, it's like gamble, no gamble. Now, you get the playoff.
Who am I playing? Because it could happen with City or Liverpool.
Oh, yeah. Gamble or no gamble?
Who are you offering me?
You're bringing Noel Edmonds in again.
It's 50-50. You could get one or the other.
Oh.
Because you need people to do your favour.
I mean, you've got to take it. The one thing that gives me hope that it could happen is, you know, you're expecting Liverpool, City and Arsenal to all win. They're the three favourites there. But it doesn't always pan out that way, does it? It's not as simple as going, oh, the bigger teams will win this in the Premier League. So someone might slip up somewhere, but I reckon it might be us at home.
Yeah, but I don't think you can get Man City because the goal difference is better.
Right.
It's the situation.
I think there is some permutation. We'd have to win about 5-0 against Everton.
Well, the most unlikely scenario is if Arsenal beat Everton 1-0 and Man City lost 4-0 against Watford, both of them would have the same points, the same goal difference, the same goal scored, blah, blah, blah.
Okay,
blah.
So it can. Right.
So it could happen, but that unlikely. Is extremely unlikely.
I'm not going to make the case for Watford to... I'm sure we'll come on to Watford and their manager in a minute, but I'm not going to make the case for Watford to do the business. But if you look at that, I think I might have said this before, but if you look at the profile of teams that Liverpool have been beaten by, Crystal Palace, Leicester, they lost to Hull, they lost to Burnley as well, didn't they? So, I mean, it's not beyond the realms of possibility. And we've seen teams over and over again, and even this season with Sunderland against Hull, once teams have been relegated...
Yeah, pressure's off.
I think
Patrick Bamford's fired up, as we've seen.
He is like the incredible Hulk.
Well, yeah, I mean, if he got a hat-trick, then Arsenal would be... And Arsenal, you know, did the business and whatnot, it'd be fine. Now, however, and I think this is actually the most likely of the three scenarios. Liverpool beat Middlesbrough 3-0. Right, we see that happening. Man City draw 3-3 against Watford. Both sides would have the same points, same goal difference, blah-de-blah. So you've got three teams that... Two of the three...
They would have to have a playoff, right? Because otherwise one team goes into the playoff for the Champions League and one goes straight into the draw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if Arsenal were to do the business and Liverpool beat Middlesbrough, as I say, and Man City draw, then I think Arsenal would nip in there. And the others would be... I think I'm right in saying
so much narrative. You don't sound that sure, Marcus.
Yeah.
And it's your responsibility.
It is, yeah. But if Middlesbrough... But if Man City drew 3-3 with Watford, that could be one of those crazy games. Last game of the season, Watford thinking, hey, Mazzari's going, we're loving that. And Man City like to score a few. They look a bit dodgy at the back. I think that's the one that could happen.
I don't think any of them will happen.
Well, we certainly hope they do.
And I'm putting my eggs in that basket right now.
How good would it be?
It would be fantastic. But in a way, it's almost... You can always imagine the Premier League doing this just trying to keep the season going.
Yeah.
It's like a 39th game through the back door, basically.
Yeah. It would be fascinating to see a playoff. We were talking about this on Thoughts of Ramble yesterday, weren't we? Just any sort of Premier League playoff, regardless of what it was for.
I've never seen the like.
It's never happened, has it? It's just always good to see something new, isn't it?
It's like a Champions League referendum.
Yes, it is.
In a way.
Yeah.
Arsenal did beat Sunderland 2-0 this week, as we said. There were empty seats in apparently a Wenger out protest, although the club said 59,510 tickets were sold for the match. I mean, they may well have sold those tickets.
We've got your money.
That's what I
don't know if it's just Arsenal that do this, but I've been to the Emirates a number of times, and they always call out the attendance as a tickets sold. They don't call out the seats.
We think everyone does that.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. But clearly there weren't that many people in the ground on that evening. I mean, it's funny they picked that game to do it, because I mean, it's probably the most boring game around.
I think we set a record for attempts on goal, a Premier League record.
Really, Pickford had a good game, didn't he?
Yeah, and I think Ozil set a record for chances created in a single game.
I was really confused. I'm obviously being churlish about the most boring game around. I don't mean that. I understand the reasons behind why they did what they did. Mm. But I found it really interesting what Wenger said earlier in the week about teams and players not really doing their best to try and all this sort of stuff. I thought that was a little bit strange, like a really strange thing to say.
Do you not think it's true, though?
Well, I've spoken to one or two people this week, and players and ex-players I've spoken to have understandably said it's not true at all. It would never happen. But then
so players not trying their best.
Yeah.
But we say players are on the beach and all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, we say that as a messing around type thing.
Sure.
But if you think about it rationally, you go one side or the other with this. One is that you look at West Ham against Spurs. It's a great example. They were hunting in packs. They were trying really hard. They got the win. You saw West Ham against Liverpool. They weren't very good. And they weren't really right at the races. But there can be a number of reasons for that. And the person I spoke to said to me, well, the thing is, a lot of these players at mid-table clubs now, at this stage of the season, a lot of them are playing for their futures, really.
Yeah.
The turnover of managers is so high, and the sort of insecurity in terms of employment is so high. You'd have to be mad to not. But then at the same time, you sort of think, well, I'm not sure, that might be a bit far-fetched.
Well, it could be that those nerves set in, affect the players, and you have a team like West Brom, who, you know, they're basically safe, and they've just fallen off. They're in terrible form, aren't they? They've lost a lot of games of late. And I wonder if, does that sort of nervousness about where am I going to be next season affect their performances and then give the impression that they're on the beach, as we say? Maybe it could be that.
And the thing is, the ex-pro I spoke to, ex-international footballer, said to me, I've never sat in a dressing room where that had happened, and if I suspected it had happened, I'd be really, really unhappy about it. Maybe. So it's just not the cut. You want whenever a player steps on the pitch, the way they've got to the level they're at now, They would never have got to that level with that sort of attitude. Yeah. It's just unthinkable to happen. Now, I do think that sometimes you have players who if you like, down tools because of a contract situation or because of an individual like issue, they want to leave the club. Someone like Payet. And more often than not, they're just not picked. Because the team can't handle, they cannot legislate and cannot afford to have a player not at the races.
I don't think anyone's suggesting, though, that teams sit in a dressing room before a game and go, oh, we won't really bother with this one, lads. No. Is it not more of a psychological thing people are pointed towards?
I think it must be a subconscious. I said to him, the player I'm not going to name, I said, as the manager, have come in and said, look, last day of the season, whatever, blah, 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 or head of a big cup final, whatever, just make sure you don't get yourself injured today. And he said, no, it's never happened. So maybe he's protecting his own reputation.
That's obviously that individual player that you're talking about, whose name I don't even know, and I'm not asking to know. But having spoken to a couple of journalists, I remember there was one who said there was a particular player who was a bit of a Premier League journeyman and played for some of the top sides in the Premier League, and he said he suspected that this player just actually wasn't trying.
Right.
And he said, I actually stopped watching the rest of the game and I just had my eyes on him.
Right.
And he said that player was not trying.
Right, okay.
That was, for whatever, you know, that, you know, this is all kind of he said, she said sort of stuff. But I think fascinating stuff though. But it is. I think you're right, Jim. I think that if it's the last day of the season and you've got nothing to play for, then you might not just naturally, as a human being, be up for it as you would be for a semi-final of a cup.
They're all playing Monopoly on the pitch. It's the last day of school.
Exactly.
Someone's brought a Game Boy in, the rich kid. Going back to the game,
which is all of them.
It is now. Going back to the game though, Everton's away form is actually pretty bad, isn't it?
Yeah, they're also not really playing for anything.
No, but whatever happens, they're going to finish seventh, aren't they? So, I mean, you'd fancy Arsenal to really, they're going to be so up for it. It's unreal. And the interesting little subtext, the narrative and subtext of this, which we also like, too much, some would say, and some have said, probably fairly. But we're going to continue with it. Is the Sanchez versus Lukaku golden boot shootout?
Yeah.
I'd expect a hat trick from both players.
Uh-huh. Yeah, at least minimum.
But
prove you're trying.
Exactly.
But that is something to be said though, and I think that if Sanchez's teammates. Obviously, they're playing. Arsenal have got something to play for here, and they need to win that match. You know that's fairly obvious. So fair enough. But they will want their teammate to win the Golden Boot.
Yeah,
of course.
I'm sure they will.
Of course.
And he'll want it himself.
Sanchez is a type of character. He'll be up for that.
Oh, absolutely. And Sanchez is, you know, he's never not motivated. But you know, the more you can chuck at him for him to win and go after, then great.
And on the other side of the pitch, you've got Lukaku, who's had to face sort of criticism for being a bit of a flat track bully this season.
Quite.
Not producing in the big games. And we talked about it a while back, didn't we? Got a couple of goals against Man City. That's about it, isn't it? Something like that. And so he's got a real motivation as well to get ahead of. Potentially, I mean, Everton fans won't thank me for saying this, but potentially ahead of a move to perhaps an even bigger club in the summer. So it's all there. It's all there for everyone. Arsenal are 4-9 to beat Everton with Bet365. And so £10 will return £14.44, including stake.
There we are. Manchester City, of course, playing Watford. Watford will part ways with Walter Mazzarri after this season. Mm. There was rumours in the media that some players, it was suggested, wanted to leave if Mazzarri stayed.
Yeah.
And his lack of English hasn't help matters as well.
I saw a journalist paint a fascinating portrait of Walter Mazzarri. He sort of described him as this guy who sort of wanders around the training pitch like chain smoking, but at the same time gets all the players to just work really hard.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't really sort of step in and get involved himself. And also, as you just touched on, Marcus, apparently there's a bit of a barrier between the manager and the players.
Yeah.
I think the article I read, I don't know this for sure, but the article I read intimated that he sort of. Sideline Troy Deeney a bit too much as well, who's a big figure there, obviously captain and an important player for them as well, isn't he? And he seems like Troy Deeney's got this reputation. I don't know him, but he's got this reputation as being this reformed character. Obviously, spent a bit of time inside, lost his way a little bit, and is now really. Whenever you hear him on Five Live, which he does a little bit here and there, talks very sort of impressively about how he's turned his life around and the example he sets at the club and stuff like that. So I wonder if that was a bit of a divide and conquer Mourinho style move by Mazzarri, which may not have paid off.
Troy Deeney's been so crucial.
For
a long time.
But just to finish up on that point though, I mean, it'll be 12 managers in 9 years for Watford when they hire their new manager, and that sort of Pozzo family type model does seem to work very well for them, and they're going to
it's so strange, isn't it?
They're going to stay in the Premier League.
Surely it's going to run out at some point. But that said, they'll probably just make a decision early and sack someone halfway through a season and get someone else in, and it might repeat itself.
But Jim, you know, I did that special with Professor Chris Brady. I actually asked him about that. I said, "Is you know the conventional wisdom in keeping hold of managers and keeping consistency and stuff? Everyone just seems to assume that that's always the best way. And is there actually any evidence for that?" And he said, "No, there's no evidence for it at all." He said that there's a pretty good measure you can work on, which is after 8 games or something. It's about 8 games. Mm-hmm. If the manager is polling or gaining less than 0.8 points per game, you better just get rid of him there and then. He's unlikely to turn it around.
Interesting.
It's actually not true that you should always stick with the manager, and that's probably why clubs don't. So fascinating stuff.
It's been an interesting time for Matt Sarri, isn't it? Because he came with a reputation of sort of building quite attacking teams. But we haven't necessarily seen that from Watford. They look a little bit disjointed. And I think he had a period where he made them train 12 or maybe 13 days in a row. Right. And they get a lot of muscle injuries as well, which can't be great. Because, I mean, they've lost Roberto Pereira and Mauro Zárate for, you know, large chunks of the season as well, which isn't great because they're two very good players who could have made a real difference to them. And they've perhaps, that's maybe been overlooked a little bit.
Yeah. It's perhaps a bit of a surprise that he even went to Watford, really.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you think of Matt Sarri's reputation, I mean, he managed at big clubs. I mean, it didn't work out from Inter, but no one works out at Inter these days. They don't, do they?
No.
And he managed obviously at Napoli, yeah, and did a decent job, and so I mean, I guess it's a testament to the money on offer in the Premier League is why he's gone to somewhere like Watford, and I'm sure he won't be short of job offers again in the future. But I remember at the time thinking people were saying this was a bit of a coup for Watford here.
But, well, it was, yeah.
But it's just not obviously worked out for them.
And he has kept them up. And actually, you know, you're right what you say about the players in those rumours and in the papers and in the articles, what it says there. Although part of me thinks, do the Watford board say, Walter, come on in. We asked you to definitely keep us up. Obviously, that was what we wanted, to see how high we could finish. You've kept us up. Good job. Thanks very much. You're done.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't shock me, you know.
Would they phrase it by saying, we could see a lot of exciting opportunities ahead for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent. Just maybe knock at Watford.
Yeah, elsewhere.
Yeah.
But I think what Professor Chris Brady said is, you know, is very, very interesting. And nowadays in football, you have to keep the players happy, rightly or wrongly. I'm not getting into that, but you do. And we see what happens to even great managers like Mourinho when the players get unhappy with them. They think, nah, we're not having
this,
rightly or wrongly. And maybe with a high manager turnover like that, as you say, the statistics and sometimes the opinions of those more learned than ourselves, you take that into account and you think, maybe it isn't the worst kind of thing to do, because we think it is a quite abhorrent.
But you just freshen it up every so often.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm. Unless you have somebody like, you know, clearly someone like Pochettino at Spurs, you'd think, you know, he could be there for a number of years now and really do something. But he's a young manager and he's kind of moulding that club, you know, with his ideals and so on and so forth. But generally speaking, a lot of clubs, it's not quite like that. And for your Watfords and those kind of clubs that are kind of scrapping away, wanting to try and finish just as high as they can in the Premier League, it could be a worse situation.
I think also these days, I mean, you think back to the traditional sort of figurehead manager who oversees everything, and that was very much a hallmark of football over the last 50,
especially
60,
English football,
years.
Custodian, really.
Yeah, exactly. And Wenger's probably the last of those, and Ferguson clearly is a great example of that as well. You wonder with all the sort of demands on footballers and managers and clubs now commercially, you wonder if it's actually even possible for a manager not only A, to stick around for that long, generally speaking, and two, to actually be able to do all the roles and perform them all without a big support network. And so that's maybe what we're seeing now, a bit of growing pains around management and how the role itself is now being redefined in the modern era, I suppose.
Yeah, well, and look, if a player's not performing well and he has a season, or the reason why I say a season, because of the transfer window, that dictates the play. But if he has a poor season, the club think, no, you're not for us, and sell him.
Yeah.
Well, we see a manager is kind of a bit like a player now, in that kind of sense, perhaps, you know. But interestingly, Pep Guardiola, he said that if he had a similar season with Bayern or Barcelona, or as he put it, at a big club, make what you will of that, he would have been sacked. Now, I know that's different because Bayern are clearly the biggest and best side in Germany. Yeah. So if he did finish say, third, wherever Manchester City may finish. That's clearly not good enough. And Barcelona, again, you know, first is a must, second, well, depending
it's a,
on...
It's a different playing field.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Completely.
Maybe he's being harsh on himself, old Pep.
And I think it's probably a little bit of a translation thing there. Not a translation, but the fact that it's not his first language. He probably didn't mean to say at a big club.
No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
At another big club or something like that. You can easily see that being the case. Yeah. But the tabloids jumped on that.
Yeah.
They jumped on that earlier in the week, I remember. But and also the fact you've got to factor in how long City took or how hard they worked to get Guardiola in the first place. Mm. I mean, there's no way. I mean, he could have finished 10th or whatever, yeah, and still would have kept him because they would have believed in him so much because they worked so hard to get him, took so long to bring him to the club in the first instance.
Also, it's very different, isn't it? Because at Barcelona, you know, that club has been built up partially by him, you know, because he'd been there a long time before he actually took over as manager. So, like, the you know, everything was ready for him to succeed when he first took over officially. At Bayern, they were just off the back of a treble-winning season, so everything was in place. This City team needs rebuilding. I don't think there are many sort of, you know, City fans that would argue with that too sort of too aggressively. It does need some work done to it, and it has to be a long-term project for Guardiola. That's what they want from him, and I'm sure they're reasonably happy with how it's gone. You know, they'd probably want to have won something, but it's not been a disaster, is it?
There's another dimension to this as well, which is the Barcelona and Bayern Munich example. You're talking about two teams that are already super clubs.
Yeah.
Was that Man City? I don't mean to denigrate them, but they're still making that transition into being a super club, and they want that type of manager to take them there, don't they?
Definitely.
And so I fully imagine that Guardiola will be there as long as it takes.
Mm. It's funny, isn't it? The start of the season, the headline was all about how it's going to be Pep versus Jose, and it just hasn't really panned out that way, has it?
No.
They've really sort of they've really threatened each other.
Yeah, it's true. Although I tell you, one man who would have been happy if Guardiola lost his job would have been Joe Hart.
Yeah.
Yes, I will come back, I think. Let's give it another go. We're going to talk more Premier League, of course, after this.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
While you're sitting at work punching them numbers into them boxes, why not head on over to thefootballramble.com and have a gander? You'll find more highlights than a night at Crystals.
Welcome back to the preview show, everybody. It's now time for emails with that man, Luke Moore.
Yeah, I will take the emails in Pete Donaldson's absence.
Did you put them in your email bag?
I did put them in my email bag, and I've taken them up out ahead of time as well. So bear with me here. We've got a long one to start with, as the actor said to a bishop. I only said that because Marcus was drinking water at the time, so I thought I'd try and stitch him up. Yes, this one from Mark Haywood, who's emailed actually fairly recently. You guys may remember when I tell you he opens the email by saying, "Gents, no talk of horse gingering this time, I promise."
Yes. Thank you, Mark.
He says, "Marcus' comments regarding Antonio Conte's absolute focus on his job, him having not even seen much of London, were impressive. However, I may take him up on that. You'd probably expect that from most top-level managers' point that you made." Mm. In response to this, I relay a recent tale I heard regarding none other than Mr. Harry Redknapp.
Did I say top level manager?
Yeah, you did. Fair point. I mean, I'm going to carry on with you.
Top level manager. Yeah. Yeah.
A bunch of us got into a conversation about who had met the most famous football person. One mate whipped out his phone to proudly show us a picture of himself with none other than Harry. He met him back in 2014 at a convention in Amsterdam. Harry was apparently doing a bit on the side as a brand ambassador for a company. He was, of course, QPR manager at the time, and combining the date stamp on the photo with a little research shows that it was just a matter of days, and I mean days, before QPR's opening game of the 2014-15 season, their first back in the top flight. My mate recalled the conversation quite well, asking Harry what he was doing there, just saying hello to everybody, and inquiring if he should in fact be back at the club preparing for the season, to which Harry replied, and I'm paraphrasing here, "No, it's not healthy to be there the whole time." I get away occasionally to do other things, and I encourage the players to do the same. It actually makes us more focused, to be honest.
Yeah.
Putting aside the perhaps questionable arrangement of this, 2014-15 would of course be the season that Harry left in February with the team in 19th, with them going on to finish the last position and be relegated to the Championship, from which they are yet to return. Good thing Harry stayed focused. Who knows what could have happened?
Yeah, well, he'd have kept them up though, wouldn't he? Had he stayed the whole time,
probably
not.
Somebody, a very, very well respected journalist, another one that I was chatting to recently, was
we're name dropping all over the place.
Well, you shouldn't say that. Sure.
Job title dropping.
Yeah,
yeah, true enough. But he was sat with Redknapp at dinner recently, and he was just talking football tactics and that kind of thing. And he was asking Redknapp about the game. That because Redknapp was in charge of Spurs and did well there.
Yeah.
The game where Spurs went 2-0 down away to Arsenal, came back and won 3-2, and he said, "Oh, you know, what was the chat at half time?" And blah blah blah. And Redknapp couldn't remember the game.
Really?
That's crazy.
Well, he has managed a lot of games, to be fair. And he is quite old now.
But that game.
Yeah, that's a
that should
big
be
one
of the one of his jewels.
I know. Yeah, true. Listen, I've got another one here from AJ. He says, "Hi chaps, a couple of anecdotes on the subject of footballers tipping and random acts of kindness. In the glory days of the early 2000s, a simpler time, and while a student at Nottingham University, me and my mates would regularly spot Forest and England legend Des Walker at various student nights in the city. One night, fueled by £1 pints, me and a couple of friends proceeded to talk to old Des about a variety of football and non-footballing topics. As the night ended, we all left the bar together to head on to the nearest kebab shop, where Des kindly bought all three of us a chicken shish kebab, including salads." You get salads for free anyway.
Yeah.
"Very generous of him and much appreciated by our skint students. Another night outside the same bar, and again full of heavily discounted lager, I spotted former lead striker Noel Whelan chatting to a couple of hotties. After 5 minutes, me talking to him and annoying him, he put his hand in his wallet and pulled out a crisp £20 note and offered it to me on the proviso I left him alone." Suffice to say, I took the money and headed to the kebab shop.
Yeah, of course.
Great.
He said, "Good times."
We met up with Des Walker and got another free one.
He ends the email saying, "Keep up the doodling. Cheers,
yeah,
AJ."
We would.
Oh, thanks, AJ.
He also, "Back in the motherland of Essex, I once played a season in front of someone I believe you know, the one and only Pav, great man, great keeper." Ooh. "The ex-football ramble keeper, no less."
That's right.
Name dropping himself, AJ, there. And I've got a couple of quick ones here. "Lads, first time I email a long-time listener. Listened to Monday's show and particularly enjoyed Sven having his own music collection. Mm. To my delight / horror, I'm scrolling through Facebook and I saw the attached picture. Yes, that's right. Noel Edmonds is at it as well with his own calming music collection."
Oh, no.
"I haven't heard it, but I think we can all agree it will be terrible.
He'll play it at his house party.
It also seems like it could be yet another thing Noel has done before Pete."
Yeah, do you reckon he asked the universe to curate it for him?
He probably did. That's from Grant Hall, a Toon fan in New York. And this final one from Andy. He says, "Back in 2006, I worked at a rather fine wine bar in Wimbledon Village called the Common Room, a favoured venue for local football folk, including the then Fulham manager, Chris Coleman, whose then wife owned a neighbouring boutique. A regular at the bar, he would always leave change from a £20 note as a tip. On one day, the Fulham squad came in for an afternoon card game and bottles of beer and shots of Archers. Rowdy as hell, led by the shamelessly loud Jimmy Bullard, the bar remained empty all day as people came in, took one look at them and immediately left. The £300 tip left by the squad more than made up for it, though." Yeah. That's from Andy. There you go.
Not
more footballers'
shabby.
Tips.
Not
too bad.
Too
I would like shabby. To. I don't know if I'd like to go on a full beery session with Jimmy Bullard.
No.
It
would be fun to start with. But
bit full on.
Yeah.
He'd win. And I'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
Marvellous. Thank you very much for your emails there, everybody. Why don't you bring your emails just in your hand to Hackney Empire on the 27th of May?
Mm.
Fashion them into a paper aeroplane and throw them on stage.
I mean, that might be a bit odd.
Throw them at Pete.
All right, don't do that.
It'll seem less weird.
Yeah, well, considering what we're going to throw at the audience, they might want to throw... Well, less of that, the better.
Saturday 27th of May, Hackney Empire. Still tickets available. So get yourself down there. I mean, there'll probably still be a few tickets left on payday as well, I expect. But on Monday, we're going to send an email out to the people who've won the tickets for free. Mm. So look out for that. But yeah, get yourself down there.
It's going to be great.
Oh, and before we move on from the emails completely, Gavin Baker was also in touch to let us know there's a grand medieval joust taking place at Leeds Castle next weekend. One for the fans of the older medieval weaponry chat. Couldn't let that go unsaid.
Wonderful. Leeds Castle's in Kent.
It is.
Just in case people head up to the
In case people
country.
Head there without checking. I'm just driving to Leeds. I'm sure the castle's there somewhere.
Yeah. It'll be obvious when I get there. There's a castle. It'll be
people,
massive.
People always say that. Oh, you know, Leeds Castle's in Kent. You think, okay, well, it's not going to be confusing. Is it? Because you're going to check before you go.
It's that's right. That's right.
You're not doing a valuable public service there, Speller, is what I'm saying.
Now, ladies and gentlemen.
The race for eighth place, is it?
We turn our attention away from the top four to the race for eighth place in the Premier League. It's the big one.
It is the big one.
Nothing to do with Kent or Leeds.
No, exactly. Yeah. It was destined to go to Tony Pulis's West Brom, but they've lost six of their last seven, scoring just three times in that period.
I mean,
it's, on the beach.
You can almost calibrate it perfectly for when you said they were going for Champions League.
Yeah. Well, they obviously didn't want to.
Do you want an update on how far off a Champions League spot they are now?
I think we all know.
It's 28 points.
28 points. Yeah.
28 points.
Dream's over, mate.
More than Sunderland have got all season. For perspective.
Well, at the time of recording, Southampton occupy eighth. Leicester play Spurs tonight, so eighth spot looks unlikely to change hands. If Leicester don't get hammered, they'll be in contention. So Southampton are in pole position, and they face Stoke. West Brom, they're away to Swansea. Mm-hmm. And Leicester at home to Bournemouth, fellow eighth place contenders.
Oh, what an eighth place battle that is.
I mean, really?
You've got to look at Southampton as the favourites for that.
Battle of the South Coasters.
Sometimes, Jim, you have to build your own narrative.
Yeah, very much so.
We've been doing it for years.
Yeah. I mean, if Leicester do get anything at Spurs, they'll have a decent chance. Well, going back to Leicester, right, just while we're talking about them, so not going back to them, you see Jan Cormagan scored the penalty at the weekend for Reading, wasn't it, to go through. Do you remember it was him that missed that Panenka penalty for Leicester in the playoff semi-final against Cardiff in 2010?
I don't remember that.
We've been talking, do you remember?
Was it not Watford?
No, it wasn't. It was for Leicester. Like,
No, is it against Watford?
No, it was against Cardiff.
Oh, sorry,
but
sorry.
Stuff was it against Watford? At that club.
Yeah, it does. We had the email, didn't we, seen from a Stoke fan saying that this is what's happened to Stoke. Essentially, we finished bang, bang, bang every season. This is what's happened to Leicester in the same period of time. Yeah. But so, I mean, it does happen.
Just nice to see him actually put one away, even though we're still not a brilliant penalty.
Did you know that Leicester Castle's in Surrey?
You mentioned Swansea. I quite like Swansea's price to beat West Brom this weekend. They're evens with Bet365, so it's the double your money deal. £10, it returns £20 including the stake. I think Swansea are cock-a-hoop at the moment, and West Brom are in terrible form.
Do you like the fact that Paul Clement is going to wait for Chelsea and all the season to finish, and then have a go and try and get John Terry to sign for the Swans?
Yeah, there's talk of that. There's also talk of Bournemouth, isn't there, for Terry?
There is, or Terry himself, so that he might...
Can I make an ill-advised prediction?
Yeah.
I think John Terry will get massively found out if he signs for any other Premier League club. I think you saw him against Watford.
Yeah.
He looks so slow.
He's 36 now.
I'm not denigrating the guy. He's an amazing career. He's one of the best Premier League defenders ever. You know, one of the best defenders in Europe of his generation. No question about that. But he looks so slow now. Mm. It's unreal. And I think teams should act with absolute caution before they sign him.
I think he's put that story out there that he might retire for good reason. I think he probably will.
We've all had rumours, though. We've had rumours, when it was first announced, we had rumours that he'd already done a deal with West Brom. People have said Bournemouth as well, haven't they?
Yeah.
And now, you know, you're talking about
Paul Clement says that he's going to try and get Terry to sign for him.
But I'm just saying, it's a layman's point of view from watching him. I just think he looks too slow now for the Premier League. But one thing it is worth mentioning is the fact that he is clearly going to be a hugely valuable member of any team he goes to, and just in terms of his experience and how good he can be around the club and stuff like that. So that's why he might be better off just staying at Chelsea and being part of it there. I'm sure they wouldn't stop him.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Manchester United play Crystal Palace, which doesn't have any bearing on anything, which is what Jose Mourinho is trying to say. He wants this one moved to help them with the Europa League. Of course, all the games are being played on the Sunday. He wants it moved to the Saturday.
Well, he's been even more dramatic than that, isn't he? He hasn't even said that. He said, I would like it moved, but I haven't asked the Premier League because I know when a battle is already lost.
There's no point.
Yeah.
Everywhere else in Europe, there might be a point. It's a real sulk, isn't it? But also, think about those Palace fans who've booked all their travel up to Manchester
I mean, exactly. I mean, saying we are sixth, Palace are safe, it doesn't matter.
I mean, you've still got to play the game.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's really childish and undignified. And I've said this a few times in the last few weeks, but it's like, it's just getting more and more sort of like just undignified.
Well, it is undignified is the word. Saying things like, requesting that Big Sam shows that he's a good friend to Mourinho.
I love that. Yeah, those quotes are so funny.
I know he's saying that under sort of the cloud of a joke, but you know what he's like with his mind
games. Jim, let me finish. He says he wants him to go slow and tells Zaha to go slow, leave Benteke at home. I hope he goes soft on us.
It's just madness.
It's pathetic. I mean, it really is.
By a man who's managing the most expensive squad in history.
Can you imagine Sir Alex Ferguson saying something like that?
No.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Ferguson loved a mind game and he loved to try and pull the strings.
Ferguson would say this
in a more dignified way.
No, not even that. Ferguson would say this stuff if... he knew his team needed to get something and another team somewhere needed to get something. Just almost in the way that Wenger sort of did it in a ham-fisted way about this Liverpool-Man City thing.
Yeah.
That's what Wenger was essentially doing, wasn't he? When we talked earlier about Wenger talking about teams not trying hard, he wants to get the other teams to try really hard against Liverpool and Man City.
Yeah.
So that type of thing. Ferguson used to do that all the time.
Yeah.
And he also used to have a few battles with the FA and the Premier League here and there in terms of scheduling and that sort of thing too. But... if you're essentially saying the game doesn't matter, just play what you're going to do and play a load of young players, which is
play
basically what you're
doing. Nicky Butts Academy players.
Well, that's what he's going to do anyway, isn't he? He's going to play a load of players.
I like
players
how he said Nicky Butts Academy youngsters. Now, well, clearly Nicky Butt is in charge of some of the academy teams and whatnot. It's not Nicky Butts Academy.
No.
It's a load of like defensive midfield.
Has he got the franchise?
Yeah. That would be fantastic.
That would be great. Pele loves it. He's a patron.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
Mourinho's done a bit of all this before. He's done a bit of... Redknapp always used to do it at Portsmouth. I'm sure I've mentioned it before, but when Redknapp wanted to give a sort of signal to the chairman that he wanted some more cash, he used to always put two goalkeepers on the bench. I've not got anyone up to standard to play on the bench, so I've got two keepers on there. There's absolutely no point putting two keepers on there.
I thought you were going to say when he signals to the chairman that he'd literally do that, those kind of hand signals you see people down at the dogs doing.
Yeah,
up
right.
To the stands of the chairman trying to communicate with him that way.
And Mourinho, even though he's, you know, like I say, he's spent an awful lot of money, Mourinho still isn't very happy with the squad. He isn't happy the amount of games I've had to play and all this other stuff. But I mean, you know, it's Man United. No one's going to have sympathy for you. And you wonder what... I mean, they're going to have a big season next season. I mean, it's basically going to be shit or bust from United next season under Mourinho.
Yep.
There's no... I mean, even if they have the League Cup and the Europa League, and he's talking about the Europa League being a big deal because United have never won it and all the other stuff. But realistically, it's not going to be acceptable for them to not finish in the Champions League spots next season, despite what happens with the Europa League. I don't know if you guys agree, but
I do agree. Graeme Souness made some interesting points. He wasn't having any of Mourinho claims that his players are tired. Now, obviously, his players are human beings, so they can get tired, and there's a lot of games. But Souness himself said he never felt tired during his playing days, and he said it's not that different to what it was. Now, make what you will of that, but he seemed to think that players only start feeling tired after poor results and when they're feeling sorry for themselves.
Regardless of what Graeme Souness has achieved in the game, and how much more knowledgeable about football he is than any of us, isn't there something fundamentally absurd about any human claiming to have never been tired?
Well, even in a specific context he's talking about.
Yeah, I know
you've got to remember,
but
he played for Liverpool sides who were going far in the European Cup, and they didn't have the fitness like they do today.
They didn't have the nutrition, they didn't have the pitches, they didn't have the technology, the facilities, all that stuff. But at the same time, they probably didn't play as many games, as far as I'm aware.
No, they didn't play as many games. I don't know whether this is Souness being his old cantankerous sort of self and sticking the boot in, or maybe he has got a point. I'm not quite sure.
It smacks of the past was better brigade.
But it does a little bit. But the thing with the tiredness and the squad, and stuff, it's up to Mourinho as a manager to manage a squad.
Now,
they've had a lot of games. They've had a lot of games because they're winning things, and they've gone far in the League Cup, and they've gone far in the Europa League. And you know the remit when you start. If you want to win things, I said this a week ago. But Chelsea played 69 games on the Benitez when they won the Europa League. They still came third. They didn't spend anywhere near the sort of money that said some of the United have. So it happens, and it's up to you to manage the squad. And Mourinho's got a really bad track record when it comes to bringing on youngsters and bringing them through and getting them ready. And if he maybe had been a bit better at that, he'd have players there who'd go and do a job. And the fact is, whatever happens in this game, if United get beaten 3-0 at home by Palace, one, it's not going to be a ridiculous surprise because United have had a poor season. Two, it's going to be forgotten about 4 days later when they play in the Europa League.
Yeah.
So it's not really going to matter. Nothing can change where they're going to finish. So it just needs to get on with it. And I think the fact that they've had isn't it a record amount of draws for a Premier League season? 15.
Yeah.
A 1-1 draw at Old Trafford is 6-1 on Bet365. So £10 return, £70 including stake. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see another one.
I don't think Big Sam and his boys are going to go soft on them.
No. They don't know how to.
Big Sam would absolutely relish the chance of winning that Old Trafford, whatever the circumstances.
Of course he did. Big Sam was rubbishing the FA's suggestion of bringing bans in retrospectively for diving as well. Do we see that?
That was a really interesting development, and one I'm very thankful that came in before we did the show.
Yeah.
Because I instinctively think this is probably quite a good thing, because I don't really like the idea of having the video officials doing it during the game, as I've said to you guys before. But the two managers I've seen comment on it so far have been Paul Clement and Sam Allardyce, and they've both been vehemently against it. So it's a strange situation for them to be commenting on it in that way, because you'd hope that they'd want you'd want everything to be correct, yeah, right? Do the right thing,
because the offence that they're introducing is deceiving a referee, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's, you know, successfully deceiving a referee, which obviously can only really be punished after the fact. So yeah, it's interesting, because I thought that would have been welcome with open arms. We see people talk about it a lot.
I think it's hard to police, and I think also it would change the, I don't know, this is not me saying, you know, British players don't dive, foreigners do. I'm not saying that. But if that law was introduced in England, when England then go and play in tournaments, it does make it a little bit more tricky for some of those England players.
Will we not see other European leagues follow suit, though, do you think?
I don't think so.
Well, the law, just to give people a bit of an insight, because on the FA's website itself, they've published a statement today. It says, where there is clear and overwhelming evidence to suggest a match official has been deceived by an act of stimulation. Stimulation?
Oh, well, about time. Well, enough of that. Ref's pitch intense.
By an act of simulation, and as a direct result, the offending player's team has been awarded a penalty and or an opposing player has been dismissed, the FA will be able to act retrospectively under its fast-track system. Mm. So it remains to be seen what comes out in the wash and what happens. It's a good development, I think, but I don't really necessarily like the idea of the game being stopped and the game looking completely different and feeling completely different with regards to video technology. So this, to me, looks a bit like a sort of maybe an acceptable halfway house to see how it goes. Yeah. But the reason Allardyce and Clement are against it is because they both clearly are on record saying they want video technology. So, and I imagine most people in the game do want video technology. Certainly, in my experience of speaking to people, they do. So that's probably why they're a bit disappointed by it.
Mm. There's also a bit part of the rule which states that the FA, if the charge is either admitted or, you know, the player's found guilty, they reserve the right to actually not punishment. So there's a tiny hint there that, you know, if you admit it, you admit it and you publicly shame yourself, we might let you off.
It's the lies we can't stand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, don't stimulate other players on the pitch.
No, it's not on.
Because it can be retrospectively punished.
Oh, dearie me. Do we have a bet of the week, Luke?
We do. Michael Laurie is still in the hot seat, as you guys are undoubtedly still aware. And he says, evening, gentlemen. For my second and hopefully not last week in the hot seat, I've decided to go for a slightly more ambitious bet. I reckon Arsenal -1 v Everton and Man City -1 v Watford at 3.2-1, as they both look for Champions League places, seems decent value to me. On a side note, I hope it isn't Arsene Wenger's last game at Emirates for nostalgic reasons, as he's been the Arsenal manager for literally 2 months longer than I've been alive, rude, which is particularly mental in modern football. Cheers, Michael. So, to recap, our bet of the week with Bet365 is Arsenal -1 to beat Everton and Man City -1 to beat Watford at 3.2-1. So £50 returns £210, including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and please gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to gamblerware.co.uk.
There it is.
Good luck, Michael.
Very much so. Let's look ahead to the weekend with Jim Campbell.
Yeah, let's. Diving straight in, Chris Brain says what he's looking forward to is Jose to field 10 training cones and Wayne Rooney, so 11 training cones, for their match against Palace. Fair enough. James Bertie Bertram says, sorting my fishing gear out, so I'm ready to fill the Saturday afternoon void that is left at the end of the season with cider, barbecue and potentially a fish or two. Just kidding, I'm rubbish and never catch anything. That's probably the best way to do it, James, because how would you like it if you were just walking along past a pond and a fish just dragged you in it, left you there for a bit and then chucked you back up? Stop bullying fish, that's what I'm saying.
I think you'd be relieved if they chucked you back
up. Well, you would, yeah, but the whole experience would still be quite the ordeal, wouldn't it?
You've not heard of the food chain, Jim.
So John McNamara says, after spending the past week listening to Sheffield Wednesday fans tell me about how many tickets they're going to get for the playoff final, I'm going to visit an owl sanctuary and smugly stick two fingers up at all of the wizened old owls. Fair enough. strong views on owls from John McNamara there. John Hegarty says, Liverpool scoreless draw with Borough. That's it, John, let's make it happen. Yeah. And finally, Dan Bamber says, and this is amazing, I don't know about this weekend, but I'm looking forward to Liverpool playing Sydney in Australia on Wednesday. That's just 3 days after their last Premier League match and before United play in the Europa League final. So
that's quite something. Stephen Gerrard's playing in that game.
Yeah, because Klopp was talking about how happy he is to manage Steven Gerrard, isn't he?
Is that right?
I saw him interviewed saying that. Yeah, he's delighted. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Friday night French second tier football.
This is great. This is absolutely brilliant.
Right, on the final day of the season in the French second tier, six teams can still win the league.
Yeah.
3 points separates first to sixth. Two will be promoted to League Un, of course, and one goes into a playoff with the League Un side. It's That's stunning amazing. Stuff. Six and teams are battling out the for the title.
None of the top six are playing each other either.
Yeah.
It's just like a straight shootout.
Yeah, yeah.
And the team in sixth has got a better goal difference than the team top.
It's just, wow.
It couldn't be better. It could not be better. Fantastic.
It's glorious. It's absolutely
Friday
glorious.
Night, that should be that is a Friday night in par excellence.
Mm, well done, France.
One thing that really caught my eye this week, and I thought I'd mention it in this part of the show, I know it's not really looking ahead to the weekend, but it's a bit of a highlight, is did you see the Rangers-Aberdeen game?
2-1 Aberdeen.
Yeah, but there was a bit where an Aberdeen player...
Oh, okay.
Right, an Aberdeen player had a shot on the volley and it flew into the stand.
Right.
And there's like a little bit of commotion and nothing sort of happened. And the camera zoomed in on the stand, and there's this absolute like wee gadgy has got the ball. He's legging it down the thing, legging it down the concourse, legs it down the stairs, just goes,
and he's away.
And this other fan tries to stop him, he just shrugs him off, and legs nice. It. And then like, I would be a bit of a stoppage because we need to get another ball.
That's superb. Yeah. That was Aberdeen's first win at Ibrox since 1991, I believe.
Wow.
And Derek McInnes, because before the game, I think the Rangers manager was, I think he was having a dig at Aberdeen or something, and Derek McInnes was just like, it's pathetic. What's he talking about? You know. And beat them.
There you go.
Lovely result for the Dandies.
Kashina's got a bit of work to do, then, hasn't he?
Really? He's got a lot of work to do, yeah. I'd say, to catch Rogers Celtic.
Someone was telling me that they were at a sort of dinner thing, Rangers dinner thing,
uh-huh.
And it was a day after, or even possibly the evening that Rangers beat, or that Celtic beat Rangers in the Old Firm mm-hmm. most recently, and they called up. Kashina to uh-huh. say a few words at this dinner for all these Rangers fans. Apparently he just massively blamed all the players who were also there.
Did he?
Just said, oh yeah, it's that lot's fault.
Your shit.
I will sort it out next season, don't worry. But yeah, what can I do? Apparently massively sold like the river. Yeah.
It's like a positive David Moyes.
I know, right?
That's outrageous.
Yeah.
My goodness. Any more for any more?
Nothing from me.
Jim, you looking forward to Arsenal nipping into the top four?
I am hoping for Arsenal to do that. Yeah, we shall see.
I'd love it. It would annoy those Wenger out people.
Imagine they just got top four FA Cup final win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've annoyed all the Wenger
upgrade. Flipped over and went, what are you worried about?
Wenger just came out, new contract signed, looked down the barrel of the lens and just went, trust me.
He just walked out of the tunnel with some sunglasses on.
Yeah.
Da-na-na-na-na.
This is how we win it.
Yeah. A thug life meme off that yeah. internet.
Yeah, he's put together a video of his head on some old like movie scene.
Yeah.
Or someone else has, no doubt. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the preview show sponsored by Bet365. It's been an absolute pleasure. We're going to be back, of course, at the start of next week with our Premier League season predictions.
Yes.
That's going to be intriguing.
Well, the results of the predictions.
Yeah.
It'll be mad to predict it.
I wish we could do that. Yeah. In fact, that gives me an idea.
Pete still wouldn't get any of them right.
Ah, well, I don't think I would.
Remember last time we did predictions? I'll say this, I'll leave you with this. A penis will be seen.
Yeah, that was at the Euros. Didn't he win the prediction?
He did.
With that, could win it again. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Have a lovely weekend.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.